Healthpedia is compensated for commercial and nonprofit appearances. The opinion of the hosts, callers, and guests on this program are not those of New Jersey 101.5, Town Square Media, or station advertisers.
New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. And yes, as the song says, I am back. Have been for now, 8 months, I think.
Well, you never really left.
I never really left. That's kind of how I feel. I want to thank the Parks Casino, of course, for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time. This morning, I've got a lot to get to. I want my friend Ron Baruti, One of New Jersey's toughest legal fighters, is representing parents in a case over the transing of children. And he'll join us after the 7:30 news. And then at 8 o'clock, I'm going to open it up for local candidates if you're running for office. Because today is, as I've said, this is to me the biggest primary election day that we have seen in 10 years, and it's taking place in Kentucky, and I'll have all the details tomorrow, but I've written about it, and we'll have that article posted very shortly to nj1015.com/Bill Spadia, why a small district in Kentucky matters to New Jersey. Read all about it. But first, Eric, I don't know if you saw this video. I'm not sure if you covered it or if it was in First News. I don't know. I saw it in Dan's note, but I watched the video. I saw it yesterday of the road rage incident.
Oh, yeah.
The box truck. Now, here was my takeaway. My hot take was this. That driver of the box truck should be charged.
Oh, no doubt.
I do not understand how there are not charges. That was arguably one of the most dangerous road rage incidents that I have witnessed. I mean, that woman cut him off. Okay. You know, I get cut off constantly. That's called driving in New Jersey and New York.
Yeah, yeah.
But to slam your truck and, like what if the car had flipped over? What if, like, I don't, it didn't, and the car was, so the sedan, I guess, cut the truck off. But did she really cut them off, or were they just zippering into traffic?
Well, I don't know if it was a true zipper, but she clearly had angled into his lane.
Yeah.
In what appeared to be pretty heavy traffic.
Yeah.
And, I mean, he didn't slam into her.
No,
he just drove forward, and put his bumper on her front door and just pushed. Did you listen to it with the audio?
I didn't hear the audio.
So you could hear the tires actually screeching.
It's unbelievable.
And people are honking their horns, and they're like, what is going on?
Where was it? Where was it? Was on 280? Was it at a...
it was 280 in Harrison.
So was it at a merge? Was it at an off-ramp?
I don't think it was a merge.
Four lanes of hell traffic.
It looked like at least three lanes of traffic there. But
I told you, I have done the cutting off before.
Mm-hmm.
And I've done it on purpose. I did it the other day in Manhattan.
Yeah.
I was getting on the Lincoln Tunnel. And this jerk is just trying to squeeze in. So I literally moved my car over and blocked him. I'm like, you're not moving. Like, what are you doing? And because it was dangerous the way he was driving. And I thought for a minute, maybe that wasn't the best idea. I did it once on the exit ramp. Was it off the turnpike? I don't remember now, but it was packed, stuck traffic. And I was always the guy annoyed at the ones who blocked the shoulder.
Yeah. Yeah.
I literally was perpendicular. I went right in. I'm like, nope, no one's moving. Because I'm sick of it. I'm sick of people that have no patience, and they create a dangerous situation trying to get around you. And a guy did it. A guy was in a, some, I think, Audi drivers. I'm going to throw this out there. Maybe among the worst. Used to be BMW, but I think Audi drivers may be the most arrogant on the road right now. Guy whips around me, and I'm watching. He the light is red. He goes through the light and gets onto the tunnel ramp, and a father with a stroller had to stop short. And I'm like, one more foot, one more second, the guy looks away, talks to his wife, and you've got a dead kid. And I'm like, what? Where the hell are you going that you'd take that kind of risk?
I My blood boils when I drive, particularly on Route 1. But man, I don't engage anymore. I don't. I used to, and I've got some wicked stories about road rage incidents that I've had. But I fear the other drivers.
Yeah,
because you never know if they're armed. You never know if they're going to ram you. I mean, it's just I can remember, this is years ago, and it was on 287, and I was running late because of traffic, and you know how much I hate running late. And I was on the phone, on the cell phone, speakerphone, with a client, basically telling the client, I'm running late.
Right.
And as I'm wrapping, and she was very kind about it and everything, and I was like, all right, I'll be there as soon as I can. I apologize. Guy cuts me off, nearly runs me off the road, and I let loose with a string of gutter talk that would make a sailor blush. Things you probably haven't even heard as a Marine. And I get all done with the rant, and I hear, hello?
Oh, you were still connected.
I was still connected.
That's the worst. That is the worst. That is, honestly, that is my wife's biggest fear. Jody, literally, when I hang up the phone, she'll check it. We're still talking. She's like, close out of your text. Close out of the phone. Because that could happen. And we've all butt-dialed people. And, you know, you don't want to... And I can only imagine, because I don't know that there's anything that raises ire more than crappy Jersey drivers who don't know how to navigate the roads. All right, so question. I'm saying it. I think your car says a lot about you. Do you agree with that? Like, everybody knows Obama voters and Harris voters drive Subarus, right? And aggressive drivers, arrogant drivers who think they own the road, drive Audis. Then there's everybody in between. Your thoughts on that? Does your car define you? What are you driving today? And do you agree that Audis are responsible for a disproportionate amount of road arrogance? 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. 616 is the time. Traffic and weather next.
From deep discussions to lighthearted conversations, you're listening to New Jersey 101.5.
622 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning. Talking Jersey, taking your calls. 1-800-283-101.5. All right, let's jump right back into it. So I do think the car you choose, this is not a knock on the car. I mean, Audis are beautiful cars. They're, you know, I'm not somebody that would spend a ton of money on a vehicle. To me, it's total utilitarian. I need to get to work. And, you know, I will run a car into the ground. I mean, my car's typically, sometimes I've leased, but when I buy a car, I will run it up, you know, 150, 200,000 miles before I even think about getting rid of it. And even my leased cars, typically I buy them after the lease. So, but I think it says a lot about you, the car you choose. Let's go to Malik in Asbury Park. What's going on, Malik? What do you think? Are Audis the great offenders?
Yeah, I'm going to say it's the Audi A4, Audi A6, Audi A8, the Subarus.
That's pretty much all of them.
Yeah, and the BMW. I drive trucks every day, so.
And what is the problem? Do they cut you off? Like, are they trying to squeeze into the, like, what is the worst offense?
Everything from, we can be at a stoplight and they'll just cut me off in front of my lane just to get over because the car in front of them are going slow. Driving down 287 is the worst. They cut me off. And, you know, I drive a dump truck with a Cummins engine in it. So your car isn't going to be faster than my dump truck. But yet still, here they go. They'll try to cut me off and cut me over. And that's why a lot of these dump trucks are flipping over. You know, people always blame the truck driver, but people don't understand that four-wheelers have no truck etiquette at all. At all.
Yeah.
It really needs to be taught when you get your
life. I 100% agree, Malik. I think we ought to be teaching kids in high school how to drive a manual transmission. That's number one. Let them have an appreciation, understand how the car works, number one. And number two, Absolutely. You could teach truck etiquette on a simulator. You don't have to bring them out. I mean, we've got a game for everything. Why not make it practical and teach them the rules of the road? You don't cut in front of a truck at a red light and reduce their stopping time and distance, and you know, and don't cut them off because they don't maneuver like you do. I Malik, I'm with you 100%. All right, man, have a great rest of your day. Be safe on the roads today. Juan in Roselle. What's going on, Ron? Juan, who do you think are the big offenders?
The biggest idiots on the road?
Yeah.
Teslas.
Really? Why? What do you see?
Oh, my God. I'm a left-lane guy. I drive a Chevy Suburban. I'm a left-lane guy. They want to get into the left lane and diddle-daddle, look at the flowers on the side of the road. They want to count the lines. They want to... They're ridiculous. Ridiculous.
You know, I wonder, Juan, if a lot of those Teslas that are bugging you are driving themselves. And, you know, that it's just, right? Like, I wonder if it's not the driver, if it's actually just the car. Because they,
reinvent?
What?
You remember the little rascals that had the boxing on the accordion? Remember they had a bus?
Is that it?
Punch that came out of. Oh, we should have one. You opt to put it on your vehicle and punch him as you're going by.
That's it. The punching glove on the car to get him out of the way. All right, Juan, have a great rest of your day, man. Thanks for calling. Appreciate you. Yeah, that's interesting. Teslas. I didn't think of that, but I wonder if some of the Tesla annoyance is that it's not the driver at all. It's the car, because there's no way the car is going to be programmed to break the law. So they're going to drive at the speed limit, which for most of us is going to feel under the speed limit. Interesting. But maybe I'm wrong. Does your Tesla with the self-driving feature, can you program it, or can you cruise control at a higher speed than the limit, legal limit? It's a question for Tesla owners. But the question on the table is, who are the most annoying drivers? So far, we've got Tesla and Audi. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. The time is 6:27. What's next is the news with Eric Scott. 6:37 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadio with you until 10 o'clock this morning. Jill, my apologies if I've insulted you. You didn't even know it.
You did?
Yeah. Well, I didn't try. My friend Roger texted me. He's like...
Roger's involved too?
Roger's
really?
Involved, yeah.
Not Roger.
Yeah, Roger's involved, and here's why.
That guy.
He's like, you know... I drive a Subaru, but I voted for Trump. I'm like, ooh, right. Because I said Subaru drivers are your Obama, Harris, Biden voters.
Yes.
You as a Subaru driver, I'm like, I'm not going to call out your politics, but you're not exactly a cringe leftist.
Exactly. I'm more of a liberal rightist.
Like you're like a moderate, normal person.
Yeah. But it's funny.
But you drive a Subaru.
When I got the Subaru, my daughter said, okay, granola.
Yes,
and I
right?
was like, what?
And then you didn't get it.
I said, yeah, I didn't realize it until I beeped. You know, I did the test drive for the car, loved it. I heard great, I researched, there's great, stories about Subarus. Until I was in traffic being a Jersey girl and I was PO'd at somebody and I went to beep the horn. It goes, me, me. I was like,
it's like a baby beep.
In the hippie, is this?
The hippies like to be friendly. That's
it's,
all.
It's
they don't
like
want to hurt anybody's
gentle,
feelings.
It barely beeps. It's like,
that's funny.
Excuse me.
how's your horn, Eric? Is it the...
I have a manly horn.
He's got
is
a
it a
German,
manly horn?
Yes. German in your car, right? It's probably like, get off the road.
Yeah, no, I have a German car that is, the horn is powerful.
Yeah.
It's like a Panzer division.
And what I like
in.
About the Lincoln is you can't like accidentally beep the horn. Some of them are so sensitive.
Yes.
Yeah. I mean, when you're going to beep the horn, you got to really beep the horn. So you're going to push that steering wheel.
That's good though.
Yeah. No, I agree.
It means don't beep unless you're really super angry. Like it's about the mood of the car.
Lanes.
Here's a post car horns in
car
New
horns.
Jersey.
Yeah.
No, and some you can't, you know how like there's that Jersey beep where they hold, like they don't, they can't
oh,
get over
the
it.
Jersey hold?
And the hold.
Yeah.
It's like, I can't do that with my car. It's
I must be getting, I don't know, maybe it's because I'm getting older. I have had people beep at a red light and I've not moved.
If you
beep at me,
you're really becoming a cantankerous driver.
I really am.
You're going to get yourself in trouble.
Possibly. I literally sat at a green light the other day. Because I'm like, the light was red, and the other light had just turned red.
Yeah.
My light was still red. And the guy behind me is like, I'm like, I didn't move. I gave him a solid 8 count.
Oh, God.
Man. Yeah. I did not like, as Eric mentioned, when I had the Lexus, the horn was very sensitive. So, women were shuffling around doing 10 things in the car, and I would lean on it, and it would beep, and I'd be like, it wasn't me, it wasn't me. And, you
That's
know, the
funny.
Person would look at me in the other car like,
like, you jerk.
What are you beeping at? Yeah. And I'm like, accident.
I don't understand the beeping. Like, to me, you should beep to alert other drivers that something they should be paying attention to.
Yes.
The beeping to get me to move, not going to work. And maybe it's, you know, I think it's happening because I'm driving to New York now. I am way more aggravated behind the wheel, and people beep constantly. Let me tell you, the NYPD, they are not also following all the road rules. I got cut off by a cop the other day.
Yeah.
And literally, he came around me and didn't flip his lights, just whoop, right in front of me.
Just get out the way.
Yeah. And then he flipped his lights on, and I'm like, I felt better. I'm like, oh, he's probably going after a guy.
Yeah, probably
no,
a sandwich.
Because 3 minutes later, we were both stuck on the FDR, and he was 2 cars behind me, and I felt good. I was like, good for you. So maybe it's given me a new edge that I didn't have before.
No.
Or is it waking up an old edge? I don't know.
I think it's waking up an old edge. Yeah, we're sharpening it. Like, knives.
I don't have the energy for it anymore. I don't let anybody in. You want to cut me off?
You
that's fine. I don't. Yeah, I don't have the energy to be angry about that anymore.
I don't know what it is, but I'm definitely going through something. I'm evolving or devolving as a driver. I think part of it is that New York makes me angry because, it's not driving in. I drive in at 4 in the morning, nothing. Leaving at 10 or the other last weekend at 3 o'clock, you can't move around the city at 3
PM,
o'clock.
PM,
it was awful. And then, you know, we've spent time after the campaign. I spent, a month in California? And the drivers in California are fantastic. Like, they know how to zipper. They actually let people in. You can merge. Like, they figured it out.
Because they have, like, 8 lanes going across.
Yes, and everybody drives.
And it's not the size of the Garden State Parkway, where they put 8 lanes in a very skinny...
No, 8 lanes and 1 exit lane. No, that's why the Jersey Slide. It's not the driver's fault.
Mm-hmm.
That's the roadway's fault, if you ask me. I think.
Yeah.
Anyway, maybe you're right. Maybe I should relax a little bit. You know what I need? I need a vacation. I'm going to be in London not driving at all. That I think that's what I needed. All right, let's go to Kathy in Flemington. Morning, Kathy. How are you?
Hey, good morning. I'm giggling here in my car on the way to work because I'm a driver's ed teacher. Not right now in the winter, but whatever.
Yeah.
And it's the textbook New Jersey Manual's version of when and how the horn is supposed to be used. And anytime I'm, sequestered to teach this unit, I have to teach it properly. And the horn is supposed to be used as one would waving or using their lights to indicate, a hello or a hi or a you need.
Wait, you're telling me the horn is friendly?
Allegedly, and this is the New Jersey driver manual. So anyway, I my point is I giggle when I teach this, because even all my 15, 16-year-old students know otherwise.
Right. So wait a minute. Is this listed on the state website?
Well, the New Jersey car manual, there's a PDF version. Of course, I get the actual book.
So the New Jersey car, it's called the New Jersey car manual. What? Tell me. I got to look this up.
New Jersey driver manual. I believe it's in chapter 4, which is defensive driving. It's in with lights, backup lights, horn, wipers, normal things.
So the horn is friendly. All right, I am. Yeah, here it is. Safe driving rules and regulations. Oh,
there
this I love this. Okay, every motor vehicle must be equipped. This is fantastic. It has to be audible to 200 feet. Did you know that, Eric? Look at that. There are rules.
How about that?
This is fantastic. Yeah. All right, Kathy, I am now down a rabbit hole. I'm going to break for traffic and weather so I can read the New Jersey manual. You've made my day. The friendly horn. Thank you, Kathy. Have a great rest of your day. All right, 6:45, fast traffic, instant weather next.
New Jersey 101.5. Great New Jerseyans talking Jersey stuff. Jump in anytime. Call, app chat, be a part of it. New Jersey 101.5.
6:52 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey. Taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. You heard the story this morning of this teenager, 19 years old, missing. Went out on a boogie board, got swept away somehow. Guys, be super careful with the ocean. I am not a PSA guy, as you know. I think buyer beware, swimmer beware. We've got to be adults and police ourselves. But I think too many people today think that the world is a soft, easy place and don't worry, everything will be fine. Well, if you act stupid, it won't be fine. You got to be careful on the roads. You got to be careful how you're driving. Stop cutting people off and being a jerk. You're going to get there eventually. Have a little patience. And don't think that the ocean is your backyard swimming pool. It's not. These rip currents are real. You hear Dan talking about the rip currents. I ask him about the water temperature as we get closer to the summer. And the water temperature is cold, 60s, low 60s. Not bad, though. I swim in that. But the currents, I don't care how strong a swimmer you are. If you're out there without anybody, without lifeguards, you are taking an enormous risk. And I'm not trying to victim shame or make anybody feel bad. It's sad. This kid's gone. But just, my God, be mindful. Like slow down a little bit. And don't take unnecessary risks because you might die. That is, like, you can't come back from that. So anyway, I just wanted to say that because I think too many people have this arrogance of nothing's going to hurt me. And that's just not a smart way to look at things. Now, there are some things that you just have to go boldly in and be the tough guy. I get it. But a recreational swim or a boogie board in the ocean is not one of them. Be mindful. And it's better if you're going to do that to have people around. And I don't recommend swimming in the ocean at all if the lifeguards are not on duty. And I know that sounds overly rulesy, but, I've said to people that there are certain things where I'm a super rules guy. There are certain things I don't pay attention to the rules at all. But when it comes to the ocean, I'm a lifeguard rules guy because people drown every year. And it is absolutely not worth your life for one recreational swim. So seriously, wait till the lifeguards are on duty. My God, guys, it's Memorial Day is this weekend. It's literally happening in a few days. Wait. All right, 1-800-283-101.5 is my number. I want to go back to talking about the cars. So what do you drive? Does your car have a personality? And is the car a reflection of your personality? Now, I've already insulted my two friends, Jill and Roger, on their Subarus, thinking that Subaru drivers are all crunchy left-wing Harris Biden voters. But I think the majority of Subaru owners are Democrat voters. Republicans drive pickup trucks. That's my, I think MAGA voters drive pickup trucks and liberals drive Subarus. And the worst drivers so far that we've heard from truck drivers, BMWs, Audis, and Teslas. So what about you? What do you drive? And do you think you can tell the personality just by the car they drive? 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 6:55 is the time. Eric Scott with the news in 4.5 minutes.
New Jersey 101.5 severe weather alerts deliver fast, accurate, critical updates from Chief Meteorologist Dan Zarrow and the New Jersey 101.5 weather team. Powered by Earth Treasures Jewelers, Ultimate Collision, and Meyer and DePew.
.709 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spady. I want to thank the Bet Parks Online Casino and Sportsbook app for sponsoring New Jersey Chime Time every morning, every hour on the show. So, Eric, I think I've upset some people.
with your Subaru fashion?
Yeah, apparently, yeah, my buddy Roger, he's like, you know, I voted for Trump. I drive a Subaru. It's a reliable car. And Jill Meyer drives a Subaru. I have always thought of Subarus as the liberals' car.
I don't know that I've ever put that much thought into it.
Yeah, it's a great point. I don't know why I have. Look, this is what I do. I go down rabbit holes on just about everything. And it's a function of, I don't know what it's a function of. Maybe it's a function of my budding mental illness. I have no idea, but you know, but there's obviously something. But I do. I think the car reflects the person. And I don't know. Like, you know, some people say you start to look like your dog, right? Like, but I think you choose a car, and I think it has a lot to do with personality. Now, for me, I am somewhat detached from my vehicles.
Like, I've never really been a car guy.
Me either. I've got this Mercedes that Jody and I bought 8 years ago. I mean, it was 2018. And I was doing both shows. I had the Fox show, this show, and I'm like, and I went and I think it was whatever the dealer was a sponsor at the time, so I got a fantastic deal. And I'm like, you know what, this is going to be a great car. I will tell you, it is. I've got 150,000 miles on this thing, and it is running. Like I take it to a garage in Kingston, and my buddy Kent. And he just, you know, every couple of months, we tune it up, we check the oil. It's running fantastic. And it's a workhorse, and I take it to work every day. But I didn't, it's not a reflection of personality. I think Mercedes at some point was like a luxury statement.
Yeah.
But I don't know that it is today. I think the Audi, the sportier Audis, Porsches, I think that's more of a luxury statement. Nobody looks at me driving this car and is like, oh, hey, fancy pants. Right? Like, it just doesn't ride like that. But my regular cars are Jeeps. There's no status symbol with the Jeep, although, wow, have Jeeps gotten expensive.
Jeeps have, well, all vehicles have gotten expensive. I mean, it's, I had no choice but to buy the car that I have. I mean, I have a Lincoln, and Sandra has a Lincoln, too. She has the SUV, and I have the sedan.
But you've got that relationship with the dealer.
Yeah. I mean, Richie Maloof, I've known him forever. And you know, so we got both of our cars at the same time. I don't know if they gave us a fleet deal or what, but we got both of the Lincolns at the same time. Sandra loves her vehicle, and she was...
They're both SUVs? No, yours is a sedan.
No, mine's the sedan. Yeah.
It's which a nice they don't, car.
They don't make it anymore. Plus, you know, it's almost 6 years old, and I have 32,000 miles on it.
Wow.
So I don't drive anymore.
You could sell that. I mean, that resale value is going to be huge.
Yeah.
But you don't need to. I told Jody, I said, I think I'll keep this Mercedes until I retire. I don't know that I'll ever retire, but there's no I use it back and forth to work. So I'm with you on that. With, you know, if I take a longer trip, I take the Jeep.
And we take Sandra's SUV. Yeah. So, you know, it's, but for driving around, I mean, what little I do drive anymore, I keep my car forever. I haven't even had to put new tires on it yet. So, you know, I mean, it's...
Really? In 5 years?
Yeah.
Wow.
Yeah. I mean, it's just I wash it every weekend, and I keep it waxed, and, you know,
You do it yourself? You wash it yourself? Yeah. Oh, I go to Major Car Wash on 206. I love those guys. It's so it's convenient. It's great. It's like 20 bucks.
I use them if I have to go in between. Like twice a year, I will do... It's a whole big thing, right? So I pack a cooler of beer, put it in the driveway, and I go out, and I wash the car.
So this is an event for you.
And then I hand wax it with Carnauba wax. Twice a year. I do it in the springtime, and I do it in the fall, just before the winter.
Do you do it for anybody else? Do you take, are you scheduling anything?
I do Sandra's car as well.
Can I buy a slot?
I mean, I have the power buffer and everything else.
Doing the car wash thing. Let's just drive by slowly.
Hey, can you help a brother out?
Unbelievable. Yeah.
I love it, though. It's very relaxing. I'll put some music on, and it's a nice afternoon, and I don't know. I guess that's what my dad did, you know. I mean, and it's, but I do the same thing with my lawn tractor, you know. I mean, it's I'll wash and wax my lawn tractor.
You know, when the kids were young, I washed my own car. But I am now. It's just to me. It's just it's one of those things. It's just the timing. And now with the double schedule, I have no time left, and B, I am driving more now than ever before.
Well, of course. And yeah.
But I take Jody's got a Compass. I love it. The Jeep Compass is small, so I don't get the SUV charge right in the garage. Mine is too big for the garage. It won't make the turn, or if it did, they're going to charge me extra, and I worry it'll get knocked around. And you know, the sedan is I don't want to take that back and forth. I've kept it in good shape, and I don't want to drive in New York. So the Compass is the perfect New York City car, because you want every once in a while Sunday you get street parking.
Right.
But you got to have a small enough car to do it. I at one point had entertained the idea of a smart car. Remember, I still see them once in a while.
Just for that commute.
For the commute. Yeah. Because I'm like, I don't know. You can fit that. You can basically park that anywhere. But I think they're pretty stupid looking. And I don't know if they're safe or not.
I was thinking about getting one of the street legal golf carts.
I can see you doing that.
Get them up to about 35 miles an hour. Yep. You know, maybe. For commuting from my house to here?
The problem is the Four Seasons, though. Like, you're going to be... Like, everybody... A lot of my son's neighbors have golf carts. A lot of his guys he works with have golf carts. And he's thinking about it. And I'm like, yeah, you have a four-mile drive to work, and it's 80 degrees and sunny every day with low humidity.
Right.
I don't know if I would do that here.
It would have to go in the garage, probably.
I think they have them where you can zip them up.
Yeah, I think you could probably do that. People get angry because I say I only fill up my gas tank once a month.
I am spending so much on gas. That has become a major expense for me. So yeah, I could. I'm not angry yet. I may though beat my horn when I see you driving. That's
but it'll be a friendly beep.
All right, 7:16. Abby, Suzanne, Anita, Ray, hang in there. I'll get you an order on the other side of traffic weather next.
Spring in New Jersey means real conversations with real New Jerseyans. We're New Jersey 101.5.
7:23 on New Jersey 101.5. Let's jump right back into it. So what does your car say about you? I've gone, it looks like I've raised the ire of some folks. I was not mocking Subaru, by the way. I was just saying I've always associated it as a liberal's car. Let's start with Abby in Warren Township. Good morning, Abby.
Good morning, Bill.
Morning.
Hope everybody's doing great.
We are.
I just want to let you know live one more time. I do not like Wednesdays because I hate the Bill hater.
Oh.
Anyway,
we love the hater meter. Do you not listen to it? My wife doesn't like it. You know what? Jody doesn't like it at all. She does not ever listen to the hater meter.
I have too much respect for you, and I think people need to respect differences, and we cannot make everybody happy or be loved by everyone.
That's true. All right, so what about the cars?
I agree with you.
Yeah?
I agree with you. Cars do represent us, but hear me out. I happen to drive a Porsche Macan, but wait, I could be your twin. I bought my own car. It was not a husband gifted to me or anything. I drive with intention. I think a lot of people relate their cars with freedom and movement. So I associate that with driving with independence. And my first car was the happiest car in New York. I bought it for $1,000. I learned everything about a car. I rebuilt an engine with my second car. So I know cars, and I want to make you aware of something.
Tell me. A Jeep is
one of the few cars out there that do not lose their value. If you try to sell your Jeeps, you're going to get more money than any other car. And lastly, do not fool yourself. You drive a Mercedes is no different than a Porsche or an Audi or a BMW. Their reputation is the same. So just wanted to inform
you
know
that, Abby,
you're not a car guy.
I'm not a car guy, and I literally bought it. I never thought about it. I never bought a luxury car. I mean, I've always been a Jeep guy. My favorite car was my Honda Accord. I mean, I couldn't kill that thing. That was a great, great car. And I bought this one, I mean, this is now 8 or 9 years ago, And
like it, my Macan. Yeah, is reliable. It's my Macan. So, I have 140,000 because
I've never I've never owned a Porsche. But I think it's they're also great cars. But I was not making a statement. I was literally was they were advertisers and I got to know the guys. I'm like, you know what? This is a really nice car. I need a reliable car. I'm driving all the time. And I bought it. And it is, I think I'm up to, I think I've had like 150 or 160,000 miles. I got to check today. And I am just going to drive until it dies. What's that?
Yes. If you keep changing the oil regularly, you pamper it like you take care of your body and the way you eat. That car will give you 250,000 or more.
I think so too. I just put a new battery in it.
Yes.
I needed a battery after this winter because it's but you know what? It drives great. I really love it. It's comfortable and it has great pickup. So yeah, I love that you drive the Porsche, but you're right. It's not like you're leasing it and you're going to have a fancy new car every year. No, you buy the good car and if you can keep it for 10 years, the cost is actually lower than if you were, leasing a more moderately priced car, right?
Correct.
But it's a lot more expensive today.
And that's why I did, because...
Yeah.
Yep. Enjoy your day, and thank you. And remember, I will not listen to your hate-o-meter.
Fair enough, Abby. Fair enough, Abby. I appreciate you. Take care. Let's go... you know what? Wait a minute. It's 7:26. All right. Please, Anita, Suzanne, Ray, hang in there. I'll get to you right after the news. Next with Eric Scott. .738 on New Jersey 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. Let's jump right back into it. We're talking about your car. What does your car say about you? I've raised the ire of some Subaru drivers unintentionally. I was not trying to insult anybody, but I have always looked at a Subaru as a liberal's car, just like I look at a Ford F-150 as a Trump voter. I don't know. Maybe I'm wrong. What do you think? Suzanne in Pine Beach. What do you got for us?
Well, so I am a tried and true Republican to the core, and I drive a Subaru. I've had a Subaru since 2020.
Yeah.
Here's the deal. I was a single mom for 20 years, so I've always looked at cars as ones that have a good rating.
Yeah,
as
sure.
Far as they last a long time, mm-hmm. they hold up in accidents, et cetera, et cetera. I'm also a clutch driver.
Okay. Oh, I love it.
So put that out there. But I love my Subaru. It is phenomenal. I even have license plates that say Subaru. I drive the Subaru. So
that's great. But
the
funny
thing, though, is my kids did. I didn't know this before I bought the Subaru.
Yeah.
Apparently, it has, like, it's known as a lesbian car.
No kidding.
Which I had no idea about. And so my kids all made fun of me when I bought it.
That's funny.
Because, again, I was a single mom at the time. I'm not anymore. But I just think it's funny that there are so many, like, preconceived notions about Subarus. Because you're right. A lot of people think that way very specifically. But I love my Subaru. I'm at 149,000 miles. So that tells you how much I drive each year if I bought it in 2020.
Yeah, Suzanne, but that is the mark of a good car. I mean, I at one point in my driving career had a Volvo and I had well over 200,000 miles on that car. And it finally it literally died. And I rolled it into the dealership and they took it off my hands. I mean, it was, it owed me nothing. And it's the same thing with this car. Like, I'm going to run this car into the ground. I think I'm going to have it for the next 4 or 5 years. Why not? I didn't know it was a lesbian car. That's funny. I wonder if anybody can verify that, out there. Well, but it is true.
There's a meme out there that shows this person parking. They're driving a Subaru. They're parking and they're crooked, and they say to the guy, "Am I straight?" And he's like, "Well, you are driving a Subaru." And so I think that is the funniest thing
That's
ever.
Good. That's good. I love it. We are learning a lot more about Subarus and their drivers this morning. All right, Subaru. I love that. Suzanne, thanks for calling.
Thanks.
Have a great rest of your day. Let's go to Anita in Southampton. Morning, Anita. How are you?
Morning, Bill. I drove a Subaru.
Yeah.
When I turned it in, it was 130,000 miles on it. It was also a standard.
Love that. Love that.
The only car that I've ever owned that's been an automatic is the one that I own now, which is a Toyota RAV.
How do you like that? You like the Toyota?
I mean, oh, I love the Toyota. As a matter of fact, my husband has a Tundra that's over, and it's a standard, and it is over 20 years old.
No kidding. That's the Tundra's the pickup, and it's a stick. How many has he had to replace the clutch?
He's had to have work done on it, but he hasn't had to replace it.
That I'm impressed by that. I've never owned a Toyota, and my father-in-law swore by Toyotas. They're
very good cars.
Yeah, I've heard that when the one was starting to get to the end of the life, we'd buy the next one and own them for years. And my issue with Toyota, you tell me if you have this, the suspension is different. So the Mercedes suspension is more sporty, where you're kind of gripping the road. The suspension on the Toyotas, at least it used to be, a little more floaty. I think Cadillacs are like that too. They're a little more floaty, and I don't like that. Do you know what I mean by that?
I don't really notice it, and I drove down to Florida twice in this, and I mean, if I'm driving on a dry road, a wet road, or whatever the case may be, I didn't have any problems with it at all. And P.S., we have a friend that lives in Vermont.
Mm-hmm.
Vermont is the capital of Subarus.
You are not kidding. We live there.
Wait.
Yeah, what?
And my husband's friend, he used to fly together, he said most of the Subarus are owned by lesbians.
Stop it. So this is a thing? All right, we need a lesbian Subaru driver to call the show and validate this claim. That's really funny. But we were in Vermont for years, and... you're right about that. There are tons of Subarus. Well, look, they're really great in the snow. I mean, I had no problems with mine. Yeah, I mean, they're just good. They're good. They're well made, and they can get in and out of the rough terrain because you've got a lot of dirt roads still in Vermont. So that doesn't surprise me. But
only reason why I have an automatic now is I'm 70 years old and riding a clutch. It's a real royal pain in the, you know what?
Yeah, I hear you. I miss it, though.
I am a conservative.
Well, there you go, Anita. It was nice talking to you. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for calling. Appreciate you. All right. Elizabeth, you hang in there. You'll be first on the other side of traffic and weather, which is coming up next.
Your news, your state, your station. Get breaking news, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Sponsored by Hackensack Meridian Health.
Arrow. .751 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. All right, so we're talking about cars. What do cars say about you? So two callers in a row said Subarus are not just liberal cars, they're lesbian cars. Okay. You know, it's got to be, there must be something to it that cars get a stereotype. We were talking earlier that a couple of our truck driver friends called in and said that it's, you know, what I had said, the Audis are super aggressive on the road and kind of entitled, and they mess with the truckers more than other vehicles. Now, I don't know, is that because of the car? Is it the attitude of the person buying it? But it's interesting what a car says about you. Let's go to Elizabeth in Hazlitt. Good morning, Elizabeth.
Hi, good morning, Bill.
Morning. So what do you drive?
Right now I'm driving a 17 Ridgeline, Black Edition.
Okay, nice. You love it?
I love it. I love it. 154,000.
Wow, that's great.
Before that, I had a 2009 that I bought brand new, and it's still in my driveway because when I turned the key off, it was running beautifully, but I fell in love with the Black Edition. It has 304,000 miles on it.
That is, what is it?
It's a Honda Ridgeline.
Honda Ridgeline with 300,000 miles on it?
Yes.
That's amazing. I mean, and before, what did you, Elizabeth, let me ask you, how did you take care of it? Did you get it tuned up every few months? Did you change the oil at the dealer? What'd you do?
It always was a dealer car. Every 3,000 changed the oil.
Yeah.
And 3,000. It only has to be tuned up every 100,000.
Yeah. That's impressive, though. Just, I mean, I take it to the deal, too. I go to Princeton Jeep, Chrysler Dodge, and the guys are great. Jeff and TH and the whole crew at Princeton, they're awesome. And so I have been accustomed to doing all the services there, and I find that the cars just last longer. You know, you're right. You got to take care of it. 304,000 is pretty good. I don't know that I'll hit 300,000 on my car right now, but I'm at 160, so I will definitely hit 200,000. No doubt about that. All right, Elizabeth.
I've been driving for 50 years. So.
I love it. Don't you love to drive?
I do, but unfortunately, when I went into the Ridgeline, I had to give up the clutch because they don't make one.
Yeah. Yeah.
Before that, I had a Prelude with the clutch. Before that, I had a CRX with the clutch. And my first Honda was a 72 600 coupe, had a motorcycle engine in it.
That's so cool. I do miss driving stick. I agree with you. I remember the Prelude. Yeah, they were stick. And I had, it was the Wrangler that I bought, or I think it was a CJ, the old Jeeps. But anyway, it was stick, and I loved it. I got one right when I got out of the Marine Corps. When I got out of the first phase after all my training, I bought a Jeep, and it was stick, and I loved it. All right, Elizabeth, have a great rest of your day. Appreciate the call.
You too.
Let's go to Kathy in South Plainfield. Hey, Kathy, good morning. What do you drive?
Hi, Bill.
How are you?
First of all, I don't know how you didn't know the Subaru thing.
I thought it was a liberal car, not a lesbian car. I didn't know that, but apparently now I have been corrected.
So, yes,
I don't get out much.
I got on the BMW train. My first one was in 2011,
mm-hmm.
and I don't think I'll ever get off it. I love them.
What kind? What model do you have?
My 2011 was a 335 XI. Yeah. And I still have it.
Wow.
It has 270,000 miles. That's my beater car.
That's awesome.
And now I have a 2023 M3.
And it's an M3, and you love it.
Oh, my God. They're fantastic. I don't think I'll ever go back.
How is it in the snow, though?
They're all stick. They're both stick.
Oh, good for you. I so miss the stick. I think my next car is going to be stick. What do you...
It's really hard to get them.
I know. I had to wait for it when I bought my last Wrangler. We waited like a month to get it, and it cost me more.
4 months.
Yeah, I believe it. What? How is it in the snow, Kathy?
The M3 sucks.
Yeah, okay.
Which is why I have my beater, 2011. I use that in bad weather.
Okay, and why is
rain
because
and snow? You know,
I would think though today that most of the cars would be much better in the snow and have an all-wheel drive option.
Yeah, well, built for speed, this one. So.
Built for speed and style, that's all. Take it. Kathy, good talking to you. Have a great rest of your day. All right, everybody else, hang in there. We're talking about what's your car say about you. And, is this true that Subarus are lesbian cars? Interesting. You learn something new every day. 1-800-283-101.5 is the number. 756, Eric Scott with the news next.
From Chief Meteorologist Dan Zero's weather to traffic that explains what's happening, a powerful local newsroom and conversations you actually care about, New Jersey 101.5 keeps you informed, entertained, and connected all day long.
8:09 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spady. I want to thank the Parks Casino for sponsoring New Jersey Primetime. Or New Jersey Primetime. What did I just say? Chime Time, Primetime. Whatever the hell it is, I give you the time and they sponsor it. We love Parks Casino. Eric, it's funny. What happened was I just read that word because I'm reading this article from Medium. Our friend, let's just call him Bob, sent this over to address my question about why Subaru is considered a lesbian car. So you're going to love this.
Okay.
Tom and Tom, both you hang in there. It's an article in, I guess this is an online Medium. It's written by Caitlin Wiener. And Caitlin Wiener is...
Right.
I'm not sure her name.
I'm comfortable with where this is going.
I'm just saying. Caitlin Wiener is the author. And as she says, she is a Subaru-owning lesbian.
All right.
And she was curious as to why lesbians like Subarus. Well, turns out it's because of Subaru. The executives at Subaru in the early 90s hired an ad agency to be the contrarian, the balance of classic car buying demographics, which were all geared toward white men, 18 to 35 year old. So they went on a market research and they found five groups that they wanted to market to: teachers and educators, healthcare professionals, IT professionals, outdoorsy types, and wait for it, drum roll, lesbians. So this was an ad campaign that they thoroughly researched and decided to target the market of lesbian car buyers.
Well, I don't know if you've checked
how about
the
that?
App chat recently, but
oh.
Katie and Elizabeth writes on the app chat, "My name is Katie, and I'm currently driving my wife's Subaru to work. It's true."
So Katie is, so I had asked for lesbian Subaru owners to chime in. So thank you, Katie. Our computer's a little slow. I know, you know, so it hasn't pulled the app chat up yet, but oh, here it is. All right, let's see.
There it is.
Where is it? Katie, my name is Katie, and I'm currently driving. Katie, thank you. We appreciate you. And all the lesbians who are driving Subarus today, thank you for tuning into New Jersey 101.5. All right, so that's a real thing. Are you surprised, Eric?
Again, as I said before, I never really gave it that much thought.
Double D Danny, who's in Hamilton Square and Lambertville, said, "Good morning, guys. Lot of LGBTQ residents in Lambertville and a lot of Subarus." But I think it's specific to lesbians, not gay men. At least that's what the Subaru executives determined in the 1990s. Well, yeah, you know what it is, Eric? I like to, like, I see the line, and I go right up to the line.
You might sometimes have dipped a toe over it.
Sometimes you push the line.
Yeah.
Look at this. Yeah, Don and Tom's River, same thing. So it's so interesting that there was a thought process at Subaru to market to a certain group.
Look, it's smart, right? Marketing.
Yeah.
If they found an open
in
a market,
cool,
and they wanted to exploit it, that's smart.
Well, it's like you look at anything. I mean, look at what beer sales are geared toward, you know, like cigar sales. I mean, it's you find your market. Advertising is perhaps one of the least politically correct businesses out there, because there's a very raw conversation where you're saying, who do we want buying our stuff and how are we going to market to it?
Right.
So and I have not watched Mad Men, but I've heard it's, have you watched it?
I watched the first few seasons of it and then I kind of lost interest, but
yeah,
it's very, very good. And I can tell you, you know, having worked in New York and been around some of that culture, it's very accurate.
Really?
Yeah,
I believe it.
I mean, it's, if you could hear what advertising executives and company executives, the conversations that they have about marketing a particular product, there is absolutely no political correctness to that. It's a business, and you know, it's, and it goes from that to the polished message that you then take to the public. But those conversations that are being held in private about the product and who they're going after, definitely not safe for work conversations.
But necessary,
yes,
and a part of the process. It's again the sausage being made. You know, it's an ugly process. You don't necessarily want to see it being made. You want to enjoy it on the skillet after it's done, and that is the reality, and I can tell you this from a radio perspective, a TV perspective. One of the worst is the filmmaking. The conversations you have about the cast and the casting calls and the videos I've watched to select, unbelievable. So maybe it's time we get less PC and we take the not safe for work and make it safe for work and realize that it's all still happening. You're just not seeing it anymore. And if you do see it, people blow up and get all kinds of offended. But you know, it, there is a certain reality. But anyway, I found that fascinating that Subaru literally targeted lesbians, and Katie and Elizabeth just proving the point. So interesting. All right, Tom and Tom, hang in there. I also want to check in with a friend of ours who is running for council, and he is like, you know, New Jersey's version of Thomas Massie running into a buzzsaw of these backroom cabal leaders, and I want you to hear his story. That's coming up after Traffic and Weather next.
New Jersey news when it matters. Breaking updates, traffic, weather, and alerts on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Supported by Hackensack Meridian Health.
Ready, set, sweat. Current temperatures in the 70s. We're already at or above our normal high temperatures here for mid-May, and we're soaring into the 90s this afternoon for most of the state. If you're right at the beaches or on barrier islands, you'll be closer to 80 today, benefiting from a sea breeze. Mostly sunny skies, a prominent land breeze for most of the state today. There is a chance of an isolated late-day thunderstorm, just a little pop-up, most of us staying dry today. A few clouds tonight, lows in the lower 70s. Now tomorrow, starts steamy and ends stormy. Sunny skies with highs in the lower 90s. And then starting mid-afternoon, but really tomorrow evening, we're going to see some scattered thunderstorms develop. They'll probably be on the strong side, feeding off this heat and humidity. So torrential downpours, gusty winds, absolutely a concern. Thursday turns much cooler with clouds and lingering rain. Highs will come all the way down to the 60s. New Jersey weather made possible by Trinity Rehab. Is there something you can't do because of pain? Trinity Rehab can help. They have EPAT, which gets rid of pain in as little as 3 5-minute sessions. No prescription needed to get started. Go to trinity-rehab.com. Locations all over New Jersey. Isn't it time to finally be pain-free? Right now, Orange is up to 73. Hillsborough is 70. Toms River, 72. From the Earth Treasures Fine Jewelers Weather Desk, I'm Chief Meteorologist Dan Zarrow.
A23 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you until 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey. Taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Tom and Tom, hang in there. I want to get to you. Florida and Jersey calling in. But first, I want to check in with my friend Kevin Walsh. Kevin is a strong member of the Colts Neck Board of Education, and he's running for council this year in Colts Neck. And let me just say this, the board has been incredible. I mean, zero tax increases over 3 years. They maintain a surplus. I mean, who does that when you think about the challenges that these school districts have? And the Colts Neck Board of Ed, they ran on a team called Colts Kids First, and they really stuck to that. So now he's running for township committee, and he is being hammered by the back room. And, you know, the Monmouth County Republicans are just dirty players and bad, bad guys. And between Golden and Hanlon and the rest of the cabal. So, of course, they don't like their power to be interrupted. So they would rather you pay higher taxes. They would rather Democrats take over towns than cede any power to common sense minded leaders like Kevin Walsh. What's going on, Kevin? Good morning.
Good morning, Bill. I hope the family's well and Joey's great.
Thank you.
Let me get right to it.
Yeah,
I'm not a
you.
Yes man. I'm a man of action. I've been serving this town. Colts Neck is a beautiful town. It's a gem. A bastion of conservatism in Monmouth County and probably New Jersey. I love the town. I love its people. I delivered 30 years of services to Colts Neck. A retired police sergeant, 26 years, protecting the kids in the schools. I serve on a school board, like you just stated. We have one of the best school districts in the state. Great leadership, proven actionable results for our taxpayers. We have a surplus. I'm not apologizing for it. I wish I had $50 million in reserves, and that's great financial stewardship. I'm being attacked by our local Republican Party. They're shameful. Monmouth County, GOP, Sean Golden.
He's a scumbag.
Shameful.
He's a scumbag.
Shameful.
Yeah, I
listen,
agree.
Listen, I represent the everyday voter in town, or taxpayer. They know me. They know what I'm all about. I'm there to serve them, not the party.
But
I'm
Kevin, yes can I man. Ask you? Wait, Kevin, let me ask you. They're coming after you personally. I talked to Angelique the other day. I mean, what kind of personal attacks are they levying at you?
Yeah, they got like our picture, like it's a unwanted poster attacking my family, my wife, for doing the best we can to serve our school district and our children. And my daughter's being affected by it. But you know what? We're stronger than that. I'm going to keep on going forward. I'm knocking on hundreds of doors. They know me, and they know what I'm all about and what I want to do for the taxpayer. I want to dismantle this local Republican Party, get rid of it after I win.
Good.
And going after Monmouth County GOP. We'll get it done.
Kevin, I love it. I am with you 100%. I am more than happy to join you as we approach the June 2nd primary and knock on doors with you on an afternoon. You let me know. We're happy to come out there and stand with you strong, because, you know, you're exposing something that is really broken in the party, Kevin, is that the back room would rather lose elections than give up any of their institutional power. I mean, Sean Golden is not only the chief law enforcement officer in Monmouth County, and, you know, he's mid at best as a sheriff, and he's also the county chair. So imagine you're the backroom political boss. Go ahead.
For them, they attacked our own beautiful school district.
Yeah.
Our teachers, administration, is absolutely shameful.
Yeah.
Not representative of grand old party.
No.
Our grand old party needs to be revamped locally and at the state level.
Well, so, Kevin, look
at the local level, Bill. Starts at close.
We've always said that, and you look at how they've lost assembly seats. They've lost control of five or six towns. They went after our friends in Keyport, and you see what happens. They did the same thing in Homedale, and now they're doing it to you in Colts Neck. It's unforgivable. And it's something that Sean Golden should not be the party chair. That is something that should have passed the legislature. It should be completely illegal to hold a government post and like sheriff and law enforcement and be the party boss. But that said, it happens. And then they elected their crony, the yes woman, Hanlon, as NJGOP. She's still dealing with so much debt they've made a mess of it, Kevin. You're right. We need a new party in the Republican Party. And you're just the guy to lead it. I've been saying this for years, local matters. So let me just ask you quickly, what is the number one thing you want to do as a member of the township committee when you win? 20 seconds.
I want to represent the taxpayer. I want to listen to what they have to say. Deliver on those needs, whether it's affordable housing, whether it's picking up garbage at the roadside, whether it's safety of our police department. Just listen to them and respond in kind. Like I said, I've proven service for many, many years in town.
I love it.
Deliver results, and I'm going to continue to do that because I love Colts Neck.
I love it.
The residents, they get it. They
Kevin,
know
I got to jump. We're with you 100%. You let me know how else I can help you. Welcome back on the show anytime. Kevin Walsh, running for Colts Neck Township Committee. One of the good guys. 829, Eric Scott with the news. 837 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. Jill. What happened yesterday?
He always does this thing right before.
Guys, hang in there. I'll be right back.
Before I'm going to do traffic, you always make me laugh. You did something that scared yourself.
Something startled. I startled myself. And I had that guilty look. I looked over me like I was a dog that had gotten into the trash or something.
Right before I was going to do traffic. And he gives me this side eye like, what was that? I'm like, I'm thinking, as we're talking without talking, I'm like, thinking, you did it.
You did it. What's the problem? But I don't know what I did.
You scare. It was like when a dog hits themselves with their tail or something, and they scare themselves.
Right.
Or a baby, like when a baby cries and scares themselves.
Yes, that was me.
I don't remember what
I did. It was a noise. It was something. I don't know. Maybe I spilled something. That happens too.
I don't know. There was some calamity.
But my apologies.
He just brought it up right now. I'm like, no.
Right before you went on, I'm like, hey, what was that thing yesterday?
Oh.
I am my own worst enemy. I am. You'll all be happy if I broadcast from home. I have a new thing, the suitcase over here.
Yes,
from,
which we all thought we were like, what
Sam.
Is this money box?
It looks like a bomb suitcase, right?
Pretty much. It was sus.
I would have to check that. I imagine. I think it's too big for a carry-on. It's way bigger. Sam's like, no, it's so... He's like, it's so small, you can pack it. And I'm looking at this thing,
well, not in that case.
Right?
It's called
But you
a
need
Comrex.
The microphone, you need the whole... So anyway, this is so I can broadcast if I'm traveling. I'm thinking about broadcasting at least one show from Europe when I'm on the D-Day tour.
Definitely.
That's what I'm thinking.
Oh, so, absolutely.
Right?
All the listeners.
I think it'd be very cool to do that, to set up near Normandy and do a broadcast, because I'll be 5 hours ahead.
Yes.
So it won't be, it'll be, I think it's a good idea. So that's my plan. I'm going to test it today. Mm-hmm. And so I may do that, guys. I may be remote in other places. Like if I travel, take this with me, right? What do you think? Like if I go and visit my son in California, I would do that. I would get up at 3. It's 3 hours
and
behind.
Bother them, yes.
And bug everybody there. My son has already warned me. He's like, Dad, the place is not, you're too loud. You're too loud.
Yeah, well, you have to be.
So,
you know?
I don't know. It's a backup, but I think we'll do it. And by the way, we'll have an announcement coming up too. We will be hitting the Jersey Shore this summer, July and August. We're blocking out a couple of Fridays where I'm going to be on the boardwalk broadcasting. So stay tuned. I'll let you know. All right, let's jump right back in. I was talking about the fact that Subaru literally marketed to lesbians, and that's why they have the reputation. They did that on purpose. Let's go to Tom in Vero Beach, Florida. What's going on, Tom?
Hey, good morning, Bill. How are you?
I'm doing great. How you doing?
Good, good.
How's your weather? We're having your weather today.
Well, you guys are hotter than us. We're going to be about 85 today.
We're going to hit 98 potentially today. Isn't that crazy?
Yeah, see? You know, it's crazy.
Hey, do you ever look back, Tom? You escaped to Florida. You ever look back and miss Jersey?
I miss my son and pizza.
Yeah, there's no pizza in Florida. I'm with you. Is that the order?
Yes.
Okay.
But I'll be coming up this summer to get some boardwalk pizza.
Got it. There you go. So what kind of car are you driving?
I bought it brand new. It's a 2019 Fiat 124 Spider.
Wow. You bought it in 2019? What'd you pay for that?
I think it was right around 24,000.
That's a deal these days. Hard to find a car at that price now, right?
Yeah, and I mean it's made off of the Mazda Miata. It's a Miata frame and the Miata transmission. The body is Italian. It's made by Fiat. So is the inside with the real leather and stuff.
Yeah, but it's nice. How many miles?
Right now I have 24,000 on it.
That's nothing. What are you doing? You're just driving to the beach once in a while?
No, I don't take it to the beach. I don't want to get sand in it.
I mean, in 7 years, 24,000 miles, that's literally nothing. It's a new car.
Yeah. Well, it's, you know, I take it out when it's nice. I drop the top.
Yeah.
And, you know, it's the perfect Florida car.
There you go.
One time I did drive it up to New Jersey.
I bet that was a nice ride, though.
Oh, it was great, except for the rain in, Virginia.
So, Tom, are you driving it back this summer to see your son?
No.
You're going to fly?
I don't want to put miles on it.
Yeah, I don't blame you. Well, look, when you're in Jersey, check in. Give us a call when you're back in the Garden State.
All right.
You take care, Tom. Have a great rest of your day. All right, Lisa, Tom, and Wall, hang in there. I'll be right back. 8:43, Fast Traffic, Instant Weather next.
Yo, what's up, New Jersey?
Looking for something that's so Jersey? Tune in to Jersey Thing with Eric Scott. Weeknights at 6 on New Jersey 101.5. Presented by RWJ Barnabas Health and supported by Parks Casino and Earth Treasures Jewelers. Eric has fun diving into what makes Jersey tick. From the lighthearted quirks we love to the important issues that matter most. Join the conversation at 6 p.m. and watch anytime on YouTube. Jersey Thing with Eric Scott on New Jersey 101.5. Because nobody does Jersey like Jersey.
Jersey. 8:54 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spady. All right, let's wrap up this conversation about What are we talking about? Subarus, lesbians? You just never know where the show is going to go. Let's start with Lisa in Philly. What's going on, Lisa? How are you doing?
Morning. Good, thank you. You reminded me of the commercial a couple of years ago that came out for Jaguar.
Yep.
And they decided to go woke.
You know, yeah, what did they do, though? I remember the controversy.
They had the men in dresses and long gowns.
That's right. They went all freak show.
It was a disaster.
Well, you know, that was a disaster for them because it's one thing to market to, like, lump it all in and say, you know what, there's potential out there. Nobody's talking to a certain segment of society. But to target mental health issues and those that have a mental health problem, because if you're a guy wearing a dress, you got a mental problem. So that's just the way it is.
So something I don't think they recouped from that ever.
I forgot about that, Lisa. So thank you for reminding me. You know, I've never owned a Jaguar. Have you?
No. Well, why? They always say if you buy a Jaguar, you need two because one's in the shop.
Yeah, that's funny. I have heard that. I remember, oh God, what was the car? I can't remember it now. Saab. Remember Saab?
Oh, yes.
So I wanted one. And Jody's uncle talked me out of it. He's like, you have no idea how expensive the repair parts are on it. He's like, you're going to, because I was going to buy it used and it was a good deal. He's like, it's not a good deal. If you think it's a good deal, it's not, because what you'll pay in repairs will kill you. You wish you never bought it. Anyway, thanks for that reminder, Lisa.
Thank
appreciate you.
You.
Have a great rest of your day. All right, Tom and Wall, you hang in there. You'll be first. Other side of the news with Jen Ercillo in 3.5 minutes.
Fun, laughs, great conversation, and guests you want to hear from. It's 100% Trev. Weeknights on New Jersey 101.5.
.9 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia. All right, let's wrap up this car conversation. Jen Ercillo, we're talking. What, you drive a Jeep.
I do.
You got that big purple Jeep
out
there.
Yes, I do.
It's not stick, though, right? It's automatic?
No, it's automatic.
But it's going to hold its value. I had a Jeep. God, I was able to.
I remember when you had the Jeep.
Yeah, the red Jeep I had. That was the last Jeep I had. I gave it to my son.
Yep.
And eventually the transmission just went.
Yeah.
So he got rid of it. He's got a Hyundai now. He loves it.
Yeah.
He loves it. And
my son has a Hyundai, I think.
The Hyundais are great. They're
Hyundai.
Super reliable.
Yeah, he likes it.
You know,
I can't be low to the ground. I can't do it.
Yeah, you're pretty high in that Jeep. You have it all jacked up, too. Like,
yeah,
you're a, you know.
Yeah. I never did, though. I like driving, like, SUVs or just, I can't be low to the ground.
I mean, I've got the Jeep SUV. I just traded the big Cherokee, the limited gray, for a, I have a hybrid, believe it or not.
You like that?
Yeah, I do. Here's why. It's not a plug-in hybrid.
Yes.
It's like the old Prius.
Yes.
Like, I used to like that. I never had a Prius, but the idea is that it charges while you're driving.
Yeah. My friends, I have a
so
friend that has
really
that. So
it's really smart technology. Yeah. My buddies at Princeton Jeep, Rob Morton sold us the car. My friend Jeff runs the service department, and TH and the whole crew. Like, they're just... So I take it there to get service, but I bought it because I got crushed on the last lease I had because of the campaign.
Yeah,
and
I'm
never doing that
anymore.
Again.
No,
I'm never doing it again.
I drive way too much to lease. I can't do it.
I
did it once or twice, and it ended up being just forget.
But your Jeep, I remember I had a gray Jeep before the red Jeep, and I traded it. I got like $7,000, and I beat the crap out of this car.
Oh, I have almost 150,000 miles on my Jeep now.
Do you really?
Yeah.
But I'll bet it's still worth 15, 20,000, maybe more. You know, it's they hold their value better than any car I've ever driven.
Okay, that's good to know.
Yeah. So you'll be surprised, even with all those miles on it, you'll be surprised.
All right, I'm going to hold you to that, Bill.
Let's go to Tom and Wall, hanging in there patiently. All right, Tom, you going to try to beat us on miles? How you doing?
I have three cars in the last 26 years of their Toyotas. One was a Toyota Avalon that I had 269. Then the Toyota Camry 348 and currently at Toyota RAV4 in 235.
Jeez, I love it. And, three cars over, what, 30 years, you said?
Yep, and I only have one other thing I wanted you to mention. This week, this happens to be the National EMS Week for all the paramedics and EMTs that are out there doing that job. I did that for 30 years, so I just wanted to add that in.
I love it. Let's shout out our EMTs. That is a thankless job. I've often thought, Tom, that we talk about cars, we talk about this morning, and you know, obviously we're being a little light about some of the labels and stereotypes, but the reality is all those cars are involved in so many accidents across this state, and I always think of my friends who are EMTs and the horror scenes that they sometimes roll up on when somebody's not paying attention, does something stupid. That's why, you know, I tell you, you got to be very careful on the roadways, and the EMTs have a tough job because they're first on scene, and a lot of the stuff they see and have to deal with, and the lives they save, it really is an incredible job. So I'm glad you brought it up. Thank you, Tom. All right, man. Have a great rest of your day. Thanks for calling. Appreciate you. 300,000 miles. I had a Volvo I bought, wow, I don't know when, 20 years ago maybe. And it was a workhorse, but I got 250,000 miles on it, and it died on me. It was funny. I was driving on 287, going to my office at Weikert Realtors, and I worked for Jim for many, many, many years. And I would get off at Route 10 and go left to the office, so I would go westbound. As I was approaching the ramp, my transmission started to shake, and it was a funny smell. And I diverted immediately. I went eastbound instead because the Volvo dealership was right there on the right. And that was it. I made that split second decision, came off, rolled in, car never started again. They did right by me, but thankfully they took it off my hands. But that was probably, I don't know, maybe 8 years, almost 260,000 miles. So that car didn't owe me anything. This Mercedes owes me nothing. I mean, 160,000 miles, and I've had it for eight, nine years. It's if you buy a good car and you're not doing it for status, you're doing it for the workhorse and the function, then you can spend a little more if you can afford to do it, but use it, because the minute you're out of having to pay for a car, oh, it's fantastic. Your insurance costs go down. It's just a blessing. So I will run this up to 200,000 easy, maybe more. All right, your call's coming up after the break. Traffic and weather next, 9:15.
Get the latest traffic, weather, and local news with New Jersey 101.5, keeping you informed on all things Jersey.
9:22 on New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadia with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey, taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. So, Jill, I kind of just, it was not a hard-hitting show today.
You are welcome. All I had to do was get made fun of it around 6 a.m. in the 6 o'clock
and
hour.
And it just, that was it.
You and your friend Roger.
How do we even start? Oh, it was the Subaru. The Subaru thing started out of the gate.
You apologized to me at like 6:15 this morning, and something about your friend Roger.
Well, and Roger texted me because I had said I was talking about cars, and I got into this because I'm having a whole different experience now that I'm driving into Manhattan, because people just they're nuts. I mean, they're nuts. Mm-hmm. And like when the cop cuts you off, you're like, what the hell just happened? Like, not for an emergency. He just like, I'm going that way, not you.
Yeah, right.
And then I got like, ha-ha, because I was three cars ahead of him when we got under the FDR. Like somehow I passed him. But I said the Audis seem to be like the big offenders. Like they're kind of the arrogant car on the road. They're the snoots now. But then I mentioned Subarus. I'm like, you got to be a, you know, Biden-Harris voter for that. And that's when I apologized. And Roger texted me. He's like, I'm a Trump voter. I drive a Subaru. Like,
there's a lot of us.
There are a ton. I got this. You're going to love this. So I'm going to show you this picture. I really ought to I ought to post this.
A picture. He this put his is, reading.
So Rosebeth.
He put his reading glasses on. I know. By the way,
wait, wait. Where is it? Where is it? No. Not Rosebeth. Teresa. Mm-hmm. So Teresa, who does our compliance and fundraising. Anyway, she said Margaret, who is our friend Jeff's assistant, said she wanted me to send this to you. It's a picture of her car and the bumper sticker.
What's it say?
Not a lesbian.
It's on a Subaru.
It's on a Subaru. So it's on her black Subaru all-wheel drive with a bumper sticker, not a lesbian. How funny is that?
And that is
Who
great.
Knew that was a thing?
It's a thing. And you know
right?
what? Lesbians embrace it. You know, it's not like, what did they say?
No, I think I think we made Eric uncomfortable. I think he's like, I think you're crossing a line somewhere. I'm like, where?
Right. I know.
And even on the app chat, people are literally weighing in saying, I drive a Subaru. I'm not a lesbian. I drive a Subaru. I am a lesbian. It's just so.
All I know is.
It's so funny to me.
I just remember when I bought mine and my daughter said to me, she was.
You're now crunchy, right?
She goes, okay, granola.
Granola. That's it. That's it. Now, it's funny because, this is a note from Jermaine in Hamilton. Mm-hmm. This is Jermaine. I own a Subaru. I am not gay. I am not a Democrat. and then Stephen Freehold said, my friend Joe drives a Subaru and I make fun of him every day. I call him a lesbian. He is not a lesbian.
You know what?
That's funny.
I just had an epiphany.
Tell me.
Subarus have united all of us.
Yes.
Subarus have brought us together.
The great unifiers.
Left, right, in the middle, whatever. She, they, them.
Well, you know, it's interesting you say that.
Subaru has brought us all together.
I've never thought about that, except you're right. Like, it's because Tesla is almost like, it's divisive now because Elon Musk is so upset the far left that the left are saying, I drive the Tesla, but I don't support Musk.
They have bumper stickers.
They're like self-haters now.
I bought this before.
Yeah, exactly. I bought this before Elon.
Yeah,
right.
Yeah, all that.
Elon was before Doge. but you're right. Subarus have been a great unifier this morning. And here we go. Who knew? Now I want to know. I don't know. What's the appeal of the Subaru?
The only problem is you get a white Subaru, which, by the way, like sometimes in our parking lot, it's a sea of white cars. I drive a white car. Everybody gets a white car.
I'm going to say, though, I was driving the white car before it was cool.
All right. I'll give you that. Sure,
I literally had a white Jeep. Remember the old boxy Cherokee?
Yes. I remember when you first bought it. But anyway, you know how many times I get into a white Subaru Crosstrek that is not mine? Like, I go to get into it.
Oh.
And I'm like, that is not
Into someone's car, though? Have you done that? Didn't Dave do that on vacation?
Dave did it on vacation. The narcissist said, who leaves their car unlocked? He blamed the person.
He was blaming them.
It wasn't even the same make, model car.
On the other side of the news, I'll tell you, because I'm out of time. This happened to Jody. And I'm a goofball, because we just watched. I'll tell you what happened. 9:27, Jenna Silla with the news next. On New Jersey 101.5. Good morning. I am Bill Spadio with you till 10 o'clock this morning, talking Jersey. Taking your calls, 1-800-283-101.5. Hey, I really want you to, if you live in Colts Neck, I am telling you, Kevin Walsh is a good guy. And it's just so disgusting to me what happens locally. We see this happening with Tom Massey in Kentucky. Not only is Tom Massey not a rhino, he's arguably one of the best members of Congress. And you don't just have to take my word for that. He was literally Charlie Kirk's favorite congressman. And I know that the MAGA world out there loves Charlie Kirk, and they should, because it was clear that Charlie Kirk was the one keeping President Trump on track. Who knew that? I don't know if you saw the president last night. Did you see that, Jen?
No.
I think he's lost his mind.
Oh, boy.
I mean, he was like nutty. Sat there, and he's at the Resolute desk. He's there in the Oval Office, and he's doing a video beating the crap out of Tom Massey, telling people he's the worst congressman ever. He's got. So the vote's today. And I think it was wildly inappropriate for the president of the United States to do that from the White House. wildly inappropriate for the Secretary of War, Pete Hegseth, to go out there and campaign and act like he was doing it as a private citizen. Yes, sorry, Pete, I'm not buying it. And if they come after you for the Hatch Act, they should. It was disgusting. And they're all propping this dude up that nobody's ever heard of, this Gullrain guy who is a Navy SEAL, and they're making him out to be this hero. Meanwhile, as I now understand it, this dude left the party in 2016. He was so pissed off that Trump got elected. This is what Trump does. He takes these never Trumpers and he promotes them to punish his personal enemies. Tom Massey voted against the Big Beautiful Bill, as he should have, because the Republicans caved and they racked up crazy debt, adding trillions to the deficit. Trillions, not billions, trillions. And still continue to keep money in there for some of these radical ideas and transitioning of kids and everything else. So the Republicans are total hypocrites. And Trump is a hypocrite in chief right now. It is so gross to watch him go on a jihad against this respected, strong, liberty-minded, pro-Constitution member of Congress. Without people like Tom Massey, we don't have a Republican Party. And the microcosm is taking place right now in Colts Neck. New Jersey's Tom Massey is a thoughtful leader. Kevin Walsh, who has been sticking up for the people of Colts Neck for years. So I'm just so annoyed at what's happened. So here's what's happened. You got a guy that's on the Board of Education, and you know, I was out there helping these guys, knocking on doors. We're friends. They're good people. And they get elected and they sweep. And Colts Kids First not only sweeps in, but you know, they've kept the budget in line, no tax increases. They're responsible. They are sticking up for the kids and the teachers and all the people that work in the schools. And they've got these backroom scumbags, Christine Hanlon and Tom Arnone and Sean Golden, who have nothing better to do than attack good people that threaten their cabal. And that's an enormous problem. The reason that Republicans are failing to win the hearts and minds of young people is they're going after teachers and workers and regular people. That, can you imagine, you're a successful guy that was a retired cop. You've served the town for 30 years. Kevin didn't need the aggravation of getting onto the Board of Education. He did it because he loves his town and he wants to give back. That's what these weirdo backroom people don't understand. The Republican Party is losing big time among young people. Young people would rather vote for a communist in New York City than a Republican. You look at the Massey numbers. I took a deep dive into the polling numbers. Do you know that Tom Massey, voters under the age of 29 and under, sorry, 35 and under, he is leading his opponent 72 to 16. Think about that, 72 to 16. Where he's losing is the old fogies, 65 and over, are 2-1 for the other guy. Why? Because 65 and older, two-thirds of them will just do whatever Donald Trump tells them to do. Well, you know it's going to play out similarly in places like Monmouth County. And let me tell you who wins in those scenarios. The Democrats. The Democrats win because Republicans stay home. In 2025, 600,000 Trump voters stayed home because they couldn't stomach the guy that the Republicans nominated. 600,000. That was a winnable race until you get the wrong guy. And now what's going to happen? You got Donald Trump using the power of the White House to come crashing down on the one guy that stood up to their bullying. Oh, did we get a couple of tax breaks? Yeah, we did. I benefited from it. No doubt. I took the full $40,000 SALT deduction. Absolutely. I'm getting a refund. Probably mostly, other than being out of work for 7 months, was to run, is because of the SALT cap that was in the Big Beautiful Bill. I still would have voted against it. We cannot continue to kick the can down the road. We cannot continue to elect politicians who only serve their own agenda. Guys like Kevin Walsh in Colts Neck and Tom Massey in Kentucky represent the best of us. The public servants who understand that you should take great pride and honor in being elected to office. And your job is to represent and help all the people, not serve your own agenda. You have to ask yourself, if the cabal in the Monmouth County Republicans is spending all the time and the money going after a guy running for township committee, what are they hiding? Why do they hate this honest man so much? If the Republican cabal and all the lobbyists, AIPAC included, are spending tens of millions of dollars to wreck this member of Congress, Tom Massey, you have to ask yourself, why? Why? What are they hiding? What is Donald Trump hiding that he can't afford to have this man stand up to him? I'm sick of it. And you should be too. I have an article up that I want you to read. It's at nj1015.com/Bill Spadia, all about why you could be watching in today's primary the end of the Republican Party as we know it. You know, it's funny. As I'm doing all this, I've got Jill and Kathy both like buzzing circles around because they're concerned.
Bill, what does the time say in front of you?
Well, I see 9:45.
No.
Yeah. No, I do. I see 45. That's what you wrote. And now it's 46. Oh, this is funny.
Now
Jill,
we're super
so Kathy
late.
Wasn't okay. Sure. She didn't she, see that? I knew it. You thought I was 2 minutes late. I am actually on time. I got Mike Brandt as my witness here.
What
All right,
happening?
It is 9:46. Seriously, though, that was a serious rant, and I want you to read the article. It's at nj1015.com/Bill Spadia. Traffic and weather next.
Listen live anywhere in New Jersey. Stream New Jersey 101.5 at newjersey1015.com or on the New Jersey 101.5 app. Jersey's news, talk, and weather. Always with you. Powered by Hackensack Meridian Health.
9:53 on New Jersey, 101.5. I am Bill Spadia. Guys, I ran out of time. I wanted to tell you the story. I will tell it to you tomorrow. Jill's got a story about getting into the wrong car. This happened to me and Jody. It's something. But I will share that with you tomorrow. Please take this very seriously. Tomorrow I'm going to have another article coming out about what taxes we should be considering adding. And I know it doesn't sound like a Republican, right? But you'll have to hear me out. The article will be posted tomorrow on the website. Today's article at nj1015.com/Bill Spadia, also linked through all my social media accounts, is why Donald Trump may be overseeing the absolute collapse of the Republican Party. What he's doing in Kentucky is disgusting and shameful, and it is undermining all the good that he has done. This is a very bad trend in the Republican Party. Pay attention to it. I'll have more tomorrow, and a very funny story about getting in the wrong car at a gas stop. Guys, have a great rest of your day. Enjoy it. Enjoy the heat, and I'll see you tomorrow at 6.